The message that I want to bring is a very strong warning for New Zealand, and I have called it that the judgments of God are coming. And basically I'm a heaven and hell preacher. It's you're on the path to heaven or you're on the path to hell. You've got to 100% make sure that you're saved. And what I find now, especially in a lot of the Western churches, messages of judgment aren't the popular thing. It's God's love, God's love, God's love. And some of the preaching of God's love is beautiful and it's wonderful and it's truth. But we've also got to have an equal balance of God's anger, God's judgments, and that is the message to the church that Jesus Christ gave in the book of Revelation. And to me, every Christian, every preacher has to have the book of Revelation burning deep in their heart, because there is so much incredible revelation. And I want us to turn there to Revelation chapter 9. I want to read two different little passages of scripture, and they illustrate two different aspects. First of all, the aspect of people's hearts that are hardened, they refuse to repent. But then secondly, the work of God to break the hardened hearts and people do repent. Someone like to read for me Revelation chapter 9 verses 20 to 21.
The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshipping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality or their thefts.
Okay, this is the first one, and after these incredible plagues and judgments that are from God upon the world, we see that the majority of people do not repent. We, on the other hand, we do know that through these judgments, there's a great multitude that gets saved that nobody can count. So there's going to be millions of people in the end times that, of course, through the judgments of God, they are humbled, they do come to the Lord, they do get saved. But the problem is those whose hearts are hardened. That even in the face of terrible judgments, their hearts are not broken before God. I remember some years ago, must have been 17 years ago, there was incredible floods in America. And it was on the news every night. I remember going to church and a man got up in church and said, "These floods are not judgments of God, because God is love and he would never send a flood." And I was thinking, you need to read the Bible. For a start, there was a big flood that was sent by God. And then there's also littler floods. But I was thinking, so many are in this grip of thinking that God would never kill people. What we have to realize is that God is going to kill all of us. I mean, that's what I say to people when they are anti and they say, "Look, why did God send the Israelites to wipe out all the babies?" And there's big reasons why. And I tell them straight away that God is going to kill you. He is going to kill you. All of us only have a short amount of time. So we have to understand life is a gift. Yes, God is full of this most incredible, beautiful love, but God also does these incredible things. And one of the, I can't see New Zealand being fully turning to God if New Zealand just became more and more wealthier and just had a good life and everyone's fine and everything becomes better and better and better. I can't see the average New Zealander getting saved through that. Might be one or two, but there might be 4 million who go deeper into darkness. So the book of Revelation is all about an end time disaster. And I think, you know, I was watching these programs. Again, they were just on, from the History Channel. And I was thinking, man, they're so negative. They were all about sort of like the sun and what disaster could come from the sun and even wipe out the earth and from Jupiter and all of these kind of things and asteroids and that. And it wasn't a Christian thing at all. Okay, the second passage is Revelation chapter 11 and verse 13. Someone like to read that?
In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven.
Okay, the first time the hearts were hard. The second time after this earthquake, it actually says they gave glory to the God of heaven. And it says that they were terrified also. Now, the main difference between the first time and the second time is right in that Revelation chapter 11, we've got the ministry of the two witnesses. And I use this to illustrate evangelism, the importance of evangelism, the importance of witnessing, and how the seed that is sown can lead to salvation. Basically, during the ministry of the two witnesses, they did not see revival. They did not see people repenting and turning to God and getting saved. They didn't see much fruit for their work. I liken that a little bit to John the Baptist. You know, at the end of his life, he was in prison, about to get his head chopped off. And all his, the few followers that he had made, had all gone off to follow Jesus, which is what you want. But, you know, you could be quite depressed, and he was depressed. And he was, you know, even Jesus had to give him a bit of encouragement just before he was going to die, not to lose his faith. So, you know, John the Baptist did the most incredible job at preparing the way for Jesus Christ. But in some ways you could see, you would say, look, his ministry, you know, it was, I wouldn't like to be in his shoes. He wouldn't be the famous Billy Graham, let's say. But the two witnesses, that's going to be a bit similar. They're going to be a witness to the world, but no one's going to be, let's say, wanting to give them the applause or recognition. But after they die, they're resurrected, there's this great earthquake, I notice the people giving glory to God. And to me, it's the seed that's been sown from their witness for God. Now, I've worked as an evangelist in New Zealand, and overall, I would say it's quite hard. And overall, the most people that I've led to the Lord in New Zealand would be the ones and twos that have got saved just before they died. And I can say, yes, I have a few people in heaven. I don't have many converts on the earth, it seems. But it showed me the grace and mercy of God to save people before they die. And I suppose that's a spiritual battle that we're in. Now, I do want to labor on this event of the earthquake. And it's because New Zealand has been struck. And I don't want to just pick on Christchurch. But I do want to give a certain warning using the illustration of Christchurch. And maybe God is more specifically could speak that, you know, through the name to Christ's church, to his people, to wake up. Now in the book of Revelation I find that there is, I think there's five major earthquakes. The first is when the sixth seal is opened, Revelation chapter 6, and every mountain is moved. Next one is Revelation chapter 8, when the seventh seal is opened. Then there's the third one, which is the one we read about with the two witnesses. That was verse 13. Then verse 19, there's also an earthquake from the temple of God. Then the main earthquake is in Revelation chapter 16, when it talks all about also huge hailstones raining down and crushing people basically to death. Other earthquakes in the Bible, prophet of Ezekiel predicts a great earthquake in relation to Gog and Magog, which could relate to the end times again. But it's basically God says, in my zeal and fiery anger, I declare that there will be a great earthquake. Then Jesus himself in Luke chapter 21 verse 11, that's again, a bit like Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says there will be great earthquakes. We know that when Jesus died on the cross, there was a great earthquake. And this actually caused, it was one of the signs, there was darkness, there was other things, but it was one of the signs that caused the centurion to say to Jesus, truly you are a righteous man, truly he is the Son of God, when he saw the earthquake. Then there was also the earthquake when Jesus rose from the dead. The angel, or let's say it was the angel, came and earthquake and stone rolled away. Another one, one of the most incredible earthquakes was when Paul and Silas were in prison. And this earthquake was so supernatural that all their chains fell off. So it wasn't just a, you know, there was a bit of angel activity by the look of it. One thing I sort of felt was, in hearing a number of preachers not willing to say that God sends natural disasters, I was really thinking, and there's a number of famous ones that really are doing a good job for God through preaching the God loves you message, but they've taken the God loves you to such an extreme, when an earthquake happens or disaster happens, they're not willing to give the call to repent or say that God has done this for a reason. And what I see in the book of Revelation is when God is pouring out all these judgments, are there going to be Christians saying, oh no, this wasn't from God. God is a God of love. And that's what I see happening today in some circles of Christianity. That they're not willing to say, God has sent this earthquake, God is going to judge the place. And I was just thinking about New Zealand, and what if God sent Jonah to New Zealand to say, New Zealand, you've got 40 days to repent. If you don't repent, the whole of New Zealand is going to be wiped out. And I was thinking, how would the church handle that message? Would we repent like Nineveh did? To me, the New Zealand is not in that state of repentance. On the whole, we would ignore it, we would say it's not of God, and we would not accept it. Would New Zealand church prayer meetings be full and overflowing with Christians crying out to God to have mercy upon us? I think, you know, when I look at my home church, our main prayer meeting is on a Wednesday morning, and there's five or six of us that come. And that's a big church. And so to me, the church is in, let's say, cuckoo la la lands. You know, we're not really prepared for the book of Revelation. So a lot of us say, yes, we're in the last days. You know, you can get into different people's views, post-trib, pre-trib. Sometimes it's not worth putting your personal point of view because there's lots of controversial issues involved in it. My personal opinion is, I won't tell you, it's in my book. Let's move on. Okay, my personal opinion is we've got to be calling people to repent, got to be calling to the church to repent, we've got to be preaching the gospel hard out. And, you know, I'm going to now, in the remaining time I have, just really put the seriousness that's on New Zealand. You know, after this earthquake in New Zealand, I read an article on the internet, which was from the newspaper, and it said, on Thursday, 10th of March 2011, and this is less than 3 weeks after the Christchurch earthquake, business booming for prostitutes in Christchurch. Business is booming for Christchurch prostitutes following last month's earthquake. Earthquake relief workers have reportedly kept sex workers busy as they seek their own relief once a day's work is done. Sex worker Candice, 24, said that she has had a spike in her workload, servicing search and rescue staff, builders, even two New South Wales police officers. She made an average of $700 a night since returning to work after the February 27 quake. And on her best night, she made $1,400. In 3 years, I've never made this much before. Another sex worker who lost her house in the earthquake said that she had also been happy with the additional business. It's their way of dealing with it. If they get some relief, I think there's nothing wrong with that. And this is basically the heart of New Zealand being seduced by the spirit of prostitution. That first passage that we read out from Revelation was about a people who had gone through the plagues and then refused to repent. And this is a classic example of it. Now I know in Christchurch there's also churches that have obviously awakened. But the general public would not see the parallel between the book of Revelation and what can happen today. That an earthquake is sent and instead we don't repent, we don't cry out to God for mercy. No, we go into our sin, we go into the prostitutes. There's some very important warnings in the book of Leviticus that God gave to Israel. He gave them the choice of blessing and cursings in Deuteronomy. And I believe the warnings apply to New Zealand at this time. Leviticus chapter 18 verse 28. It says, "And if you defile the land, it will vomit you out as it vomited out the nations that were before you." You know, when you study world empires that have risen to great power and world domination, in the end, the land vomits them out because of their wickedness. And to me, that is definitely what is happening to America. It has had such a beautiful Christian heritage. And with America, the land is vomiting them out. There was the huge tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, fires, oil spills, all kinds of things. And you've got to see the warning of God that when a nation that knows the truth falls into sin, the warning of God is that the land will vomit you out. This is repeated in, well, the whole of Leviticus chapter 18 is really about sexual sin. That is definitely the main cause that causes God to allow the lands to vomit people out. Now, an important verse, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 29, it says, "Do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness." And I really believe that there is a spirit of prostitution over New Zealand. Okay, let's look at the laws, changes that have come to New Zealand. And I especially, want to blame, you can't blame certain politicians. It's the heart of the nation. But if Christians aren't perceiving, they're easily deceived by the Antichrist spirit. Homosexuality and abortion, which were, of course, when I was born, it was illegal to have an abortion. So I could have not been aborted. Shortly after that was when things began to change, especially under the administrations of Longy, Palmer and Moore. Slowly homosexuality was decriminalised and abortion access became easier. In 1986, the Homosexual Law Reform Act passed in New Zealand, legalising sex between males over 16 years old. Currently in New Zealand, girls under the age of 16 can have an abortion without their parents being informed. Most abortions are in New Zealand on the grounds of the mental health of the mother. The drinking age, coming more recent, in 1999, New Zealand's legal age for drinking alcohol was lowered from 20 to 18. And almost immediately, there was a rise in admissions to hospital due to drinking problems, alcohol addictions, and also car crash increase. In 2004, the prostitution was made legal in New Zealand after passing the Prostitution Reform Bill. It claims that this was to protect the rights of those involved in prostitution. But in doing so, it made legal for small brothels to operate in residential areas next to family homes and failed to protect communities and families from the effects of street and underage prostitution. I know a lot of work is being done against these things. There's a number of work getting that one about under 16 having abortion without telling their parents. They're trying to get that, groups trying to get that one removed. There's all kinds of people trying to deal with this prostitution problem. But, you know, what a grip of demonic power this nation is under. Now also in 2004, the Civil Union Act made it possible for couples of either same sex or opposite sex to formalize their relationship without the religious or historical boundaries of marriage through a ceremony called a civil union. Through the Relationships Act 2005, civil union partners and de facto couples were given the same rights and responsibilities as married people, with marriage no longer having the unique or special status it deserves. Now, just one Bible verse comes to mind when I think of New Zealand's Civil Union Act, and that's Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Okay, who would like to read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4?
Give honour to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery.
God will surely judge those who are immoral, those who commit adultery. And to me, the lowering of the marriage standards is compromise. It is the work of the devil. And it's because people in their hearts don't want to fully turn to God. Now the solution is warn the people, call them to repent, plead with them. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done in New Zealand. A lot of prayer, a lot of pleading with God to have mercy on this nation, to break these demonic powers that are in this nation. But we've got to, you know, we've got to come like Jesus did. Jesus came to the sinner with full mercy. You know, when that woman was caught in adultery, he didn't stone her. He came with his love. But he also said to her, go and sin no more. Now that woman that was caught in adultery, we don't know if she's in heaven or if she's in hell. Now we would surely think, having such a wonderful encounter with Jesus, she would have been life changed, and she would have gone, sinned no more, she would have changed, she would have honored marriage, would have got that issue sorted out. If she did that, yes, she can be in heaven. But what if she took God's grace in vain? Now the Bible warns us about people who take God's grace in vain. Now that is the most important message, I think, in our society, because so many people are willing to compromise because of New Zealand's culture. New Zealand culture, New Zealand law says it's all right. It doesn't matter. New Zealand culture law is trying to say that homosexuality is all right. That is one of the big agendas of the United Nations. You know, I see these United Nations men, big world leaders sitting around in their big suits discussing how to release homosexuality in a greater way in the world. And how to, you know, there's still 70 nations where it's illegal to commit homosexual acts. A lot of them are Muslim countries. And here are these United Nations leaders planning how they can topple all the nations so that homosexuality will be accepted worldwide. And that is the let's say, the spirit of the age, the spirit of the devil, the grip that the world is under. It's an antichrist spirit. And it's going to lead to the final antichrist. It's going to lead to everything in the book of Revelation being fulfilled. And it's going to lead to God's judgments on nations. When I start preaching in churches about God's judgments becoming upon nations, most of Christians, of course, accept it because they know the Bible. But there's such a, you know, nobody preaches about this these days. And it's, to me, I just, you know, I sort of wonder who is really giving the warning cries to break the darkness that is in the grip of New Zealand. You know, to me, Helen Clark was definitely an antichrist. You know, she was liked by the people because at that time we were, certain financial things were flowing well and all kind of that stuff. Again, Obama and America was a definite antichrist. If you knew American politics, you know that their party has been liberal. Now, having worked in Kenya, and he is from Kenya, you can almost go into every house and you'll see a photo of Obama in their houses. And almost all the time in the newspaper, articles about his relatives, because a large part of his family is still in Kenya, and they are Muslims. And there's articles like this, Obama's brother-in-law, or I forget if it was stepbrother or brother, because they have these big families, marries fourth or third wife, schoolgirl. And I was thinking, if these kind of articles were being played properly in America, how could he get voted in to be the president? But the grip of deception that is in the media, and which is when places become anti-gods, and you get agendas that are so fervent, like the homosexual agenda, often Christians are asleep, doing nothing, while the devil is working day and night, taking positions of authority and positions of power, and leading the nations astray. And judgments of God come, the land begins to spit them out. And I think New Zealand is on the verge of coming into a new season. A season where God has to take action and begin judging the nation. And God has to begin releasing the land to spit people out. And that's horrific and it's a hard message, but I think that's also the only hope of turning this nation to truly become a Christian nation. And there will be the two groups of people. There will be those who harden their hearts, go off to the prostitutes. There will be the others who become terrified and they will give glory to God. And my end point is that there was those two witnesses there. There was those people doing evangelism. You know, New Zealand is a hard place to do evangelism, but you've got to have the vision of God's judgments coming. You've got to have a vision of earnestness, of passion, of warning the people, of pleading with the people. You know, how I see all of the Old Testament prophets was that they saw the judgments of God coming upon the nation, and they were willing to plead with the people. And they are the books that are in the Bible. The prosperity preachers, they were blown away. The preachers that only would mention God's love, they were blown away. They don't have books in the Bible. And there was lots of prosperity preachers. Lots of people that would preach against Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, you're wrong. God is going to bless us. You know, there can be a mixture. Just because a prosperity preacher, you know, is over, you know, he can still get people saved and he can still do a good job. But overall, I think the American prosperity preachers are going to be blown away. You know, I was shocked when I was in Nigeria to see how these Nigerian pastors were in the grip of some kind of American prosperity gospel. And I think, man, you've chased after America, you've chased after prosperity. I can't see how it's not going to be blown away. So to me, times are going to get tough. And the answer is we've got to have very strong living for God. And we've got to have deep repentance. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. All of us have to constantly walk in God's light, have a repentant heart. Not be like Jonah, who was just thinking, look, doesn't matter if these Ninevites get bombed up. No, the heart of God is always for salvation. It's always for a nation to be saved. So my heart is for New Zealand to become a powerful nation. And there's got to be sacrifice. I can't see it happening without taking up a cross. And to me, if there's not a true fear of God, being gripped by God, understanding the urgency of the times, you know, we're a sleeping church, and how can we be the light in the times of darkness? My challenge to you is, first of all, go deeper in prayer. Get a burden for evangelism, get some tracts, carry them wherever you go. Read some of my books, might help. But it's get the fire of God in your heart. Get a passion and know that the most important book in the Bible at this time, I believe, is the book of Revelation. It has been for the last 2,000 years. It's the one that Jesus promised would be blessed if you read it, blessed if you study it. It's the message specifically given to the church. And if the church is in cuckoo la la lands, not realizing that judgments of God are coming so horrendously, how are we going to warn the unbelievers? So there's a lot to do. So I hope your prayer meetings are powerful. I hope your prayer meetings are not empty. The only way to really get breakthroughs in evangelism is prayer and evangelism. You know, having worked as an evangelist, I've worked with so many young people who have been fired for God, fired to witness, they bomb out. They're doing nothing. And I think the only difference between me is that I've kept that daily prayer. And I keep that daily prayer walk with God. And that's given me fire in my heart. Okay, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I just want to give a challenge now. Lord, I want to break chains of compromise that are off New Zealand. And Lord, if you're speaking to anyone here who is not saved, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven if they were to die today. Then Lord Jesus, you are calling them to give your life to Jesus. Don't be compromised Christian. Don't be half Christian. Remember, Jesus Christ is standing here with his love. And if you don't know if you would go to heaven or hell today, then my call is to give your life to Jesus Christ today. Ask him to forgive you. Remember, in this, the way to follow God is to honor the marriage covenant. You cannot say that you're honoring God if you're living in sexual relationship outside of marriage. But everywhere in New Zealand, people are doing this. Remember, they will not go to heaven. And if you are living in sexual relationship outside of marriage, you have to plead with God to forgive you. You have to plead with him to come into your heart and save you, to break that chain so that you will not continue to fall into that temptation. Now, you also need God's wisdom, how you're going to solve that problem. And God has the wisdom, and there's of course people in this church who can give you that wisdom also, what you should do. I just give that challenge, just if anyone's here. So remember, Jesus Christ is calling you to repent. Repent, turn to God, and be saved. And Jesus Christ, let's picture him dying on the cross. That is the price for our salvation. Jesus died for you. He shed his holy, righteous blood to wash away your sins. It's only the blood of Jesus that can save us from being lost forever. So my challenge is, anyone here, you have not made full commitments of Jesus as your Lord, and you need to do that right now, I just ask you to raise your hands, and then we will say a prayer. Anyone here, you need to make sure of your salvation today.